Welcome to Curmudgeon's Corner for Thursday, April 28th, 2016. It's about 2:40 UTC as we're starting to record this. I'm Sam Minter, and Yvonne Bo is with us again. Hello, Yvonne.
Hello!
And we've got, just to get the agenda out of the way, once we get going, we are of course going to talk about election 2016. We'll cover the Republicans, we'll talk cover the Democrats, and then we'll have a lightning round with a bunch of other random stuff. And Yvonne's at home, because each of the last few weeks, Yvonne has been traveling, and on two of the last 3 weeks, I apologized at the beginning of the show. I added a little thing and said, I know the audio quality is crap, I'm sorry. And I probably should have done it on last week's as well, but, you know.
Well, if Sam forgets to remind me that I have to set my microphone in a conversation way, I keep forgetting to do that. I don't hear the noise that's happening on your end. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I forget about that. So if you don't tell me anything, then I just, assume that there's nothing happening. And I'm like, so.
One of these days I have to get you you probably wouldn't take it with you when you're traveling anyway, but a nice mic with a thing you can plug into that you can hear yourself too. But yeah, it's like when you're either the microphone is like, hitting your shirt and rubbing on your
probably
shirt.
Hitting my, I'm sure that what it is, it's just hitting my shirt.
Or you're like messing with something on your desk and you can hear it, or whatever, because all those sounds get magnified.
Speaking of noise, every time I get to Sam and I get on the damn thing, I mean, all I hear is his damn like smoke detector alarms, like, his smoke detector batteries, like, not being.
Well, for years went on about the smoke detector battery that I finally fixed like a long time ago. It just started going off again like within the last 24 hours. It's a different one this time.
First thing I got on the photo, I get on the Skype and then I hear, damn things off again. Now, look, I am apparently like the smoke detector battery repair crew. We just went to somebody's house on Sunday. Beautiful place. Impeccable place. Fucking smoke. First thing I walk in, oh my God, fucking smoke detector beep. And she's like, I don't even notice it anymore. I'm like, Jesus Christ, are you kidding me? I'm like, God damn it. I'm like, I actually, the worst thing is I tried to fix it. She said she put in a new battery. I tried to fix it. It still kept beeping. I was just like, I was just couldn't get that damn thing to shut up while I was at that household.
Yeah, so I know which one it is. It's actually a few weeks ago it started beeping, but then it on its own without anybody touching it, it stopped after about 12 hours. And so we're like, oh, okay.
Oh, it's fixed. It's fixed. Yeah, sure.
But no, it started again just in the last day. And it's in the hallway immediately outside of the room I record the shows in my home office. But it's one that, I can just get on a stool and reach this one. Whereas the one that you complained about for so long, I actually had to buy a ladder because I didn't have a ladder long enough to reach the damn thing because it was way up on a high ceiling.
Yeah,
but well, I finally bought that ladder, and
yeah, bought the ladder. I know.
Now I have the ladder, and I can get up there when I need to.
Yeah,
there you go. But anyway, but it is important to change the batteries in your smoke detectors, people. Yeah, they are there for a reason.
Yeah,
and
get killed in a fire, sulfur.
Yeah, and these are all ones that I think they're all wired into the power in the house too. But this is the backup.
Well, I know it's still wired up, but it's still, anyway, you need those, things done to work. Okay. Right. So anyway, eventually he'll get a battery. Anyway.
Eventually I have a battery on the shelf right here. The right kind there I need. Yeah, I just have to actually do it. Now the question is how many weeks will it be until that happens?
Well, we'll find out soon enough.
Cause Yvonne is extremely sensitive and is like, beep, beep, kill the beep. And meanwhile, right. I'm like, after a few hours, I'm like, oh, well, I don't even notice it anymore.
Yeah, you don't even notice the damn beep. Yeah, I know.
So anything else going on of note before we jump right in on everything?
Nope.
Okay, so we will take a break and we will come back and we will start with election 2016. We'll do the Republicans first. There's more to talk about on the Republican side. Then again, we'll do the Democrats. And then we'll try to get to all of this other stuff. We were going to do it last week, but we got, we were done at the end of talking about the election. We'll see if we get to it this week. We got like, I don't know what Yvonne's got on that list. I've got half a dozen things on there or more. Not to say we need to talk about all of them, but I've got a list. I've got a backlog of things we have not talked about on the show.
All right. So let's get started.
Take a break. We will be right back.
Celebrates the classic horror and science fiction films from the silent era through the 1960s, and retro TV horror from the 1950s to the 1970s. Visit creepyclassics.com for all your classic video needs. And when you buy something, tell Ron that the curmudgeons say hello.
Okay, we are back. So, the Republicans. So, start out with the obvious news. We are recording this on Thursday UTC. This Tuesday, we had results in Pennsylvania, Maryland, Connecticut, Rhode Island, and Delaware. And the bottom line out of these
Trump crushed everybody.
Well, Trump crushed everybody. But the first of all, just on the straight up pledged delegates that came out of this, Trump got 110. Meanwhile, Kasich got 5 and Cruz got 3.
Jesus Christ. I mean, he crushed them.
He crushed them. Now, he was expected to absolutely dominate, but this exceeded even those expectations by a bit. Now, but it was expected to be a bloodbath. And
it was expected to be definitely a Trump way, but this was even beyond everything. Yep.
Right, but in terms of actual delegates, he exceeded expectations by a little bit, but not like a crazy amount. So, you know, there's a lot of talk about how, everything's different now. And so part one of that was he did even better than expected in the pledged delegates on these races. But he was expected to crush. He just crushed by a little bit more than people expected on this. But the big part of what happened Tuesday that was starts rolling the process of, you know, we've been talking about for a while how we were on the knife's edge between a brokered convention and an outright Trump win. We're rolling into the outright Trump win, and one of the first of the three things that I'm going to talk about that lead you in that direction are, aside from his crush in the pledge delegates, which was a little bit more than expected, but just a little bit more than expected, is the uncommitted delegates from Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. So there were 54 of those, and we talked a little bit about this last week, where those were elected. If you went in Pennsylvania, you would actually get a list of names with nothing next to them describing who those people supported or anything about these people. And chances are that unless you were, you know, really did your due diligence and homework and research, you might not even know who the fuck these people are at all. In some cases, they're local officials and you might have heard of them. But for the most part, you might not even know who these names are, let alone who they support, unless you'd done some research. And the kind of expectation a lot of people had, not everybody, I should say not everybody, but a lot of people had, was in these kinds of races where you're electing delegates by name, Trump has done really badly. He hasn't been well organized on these in order to get the support he needed. Right. He had some, you know, the examples in Colorado and other places where he was trying to, they were handing out slates of delegates to vote for, and some
the wrong people,
the wrong people, the wrong numbers, messing it up, doing various things like that. And he ended up getting almost nothing. And for the last couple months, we've heard reports after reports after reports of these cases where in these caucus type situations where people are actually picking delegates, Trump had failed utterly, both in terms of the ones that are directly, you know, hey, you're electing this person and they're going to vote at the convention, and in filling in the slots for people who were pledged him. In both of those things, Trump was just doing really badly. And so people expected that, oh, he might do okay, but he's done really badly with this in the past, and so quite possibly he'll do badly here too. No. As it turns out, Trump got his act together. And apparently some of it, I was just reading an article in the Washington Post about this that mentioned he actually hired a staffer in Pennsylvania early who's been working on this since December. And I did not know that prior to this. It might have changed my opinion on how well he would have done. But, you know, even then, given his history, you'd think, oh, he hired somebody, they're going to screw it up.
They're going to screw it up anyway. Right.
But as it turns out, depending on, you know, their number of people who have looked at statements of the 54 delegates who won to try to figure out who they really support. And depending on how you interpret the statements of various ones, you end up with a number anywhere from the high 30s to the mid 40s. Out of the 54, my personal estimate right now, the one I posted this morning was 45 of the 54 uncommitted delegates. I've got some additional information on one of them. I'm probably going to drop it to 44 soon. But in any case, it's that's huge. That's almost all of them. You know, so we had Trump with 45, Cruz with 3, Kasich with 3, and 3 that nobody can figure out who they support yet. And so that's. That's a lot of people. And so if you take that one away, it's 44 and one more unknown. But in any case, Trump absolutely dominated in these uncommitted delegates that people were sort of not really expecting him to do great on, even if he won the state. But because he was organized, and apparently his people were handing out slates, and his slates had the right people, and they'd been organizing to get, they were actually recruiting delegates to be on the ballot for them, going back months, like I said, as far as December, and making sure they were really people who were loyal and blah, blah, blah. There were a lot of those. Then also, Pennsylvania had a whole bunch out of that 44 or 45 that I mentioned. Probably about 15 to 20 of those are people who didn't explicitly say, I like Trump, but promised to support whoever won their congressional district.
Okay.
And Trump won every congressional district in Pennsylvania.
I mean, that's crazy. You won every single one.
Every single one.
Wow.
And so all of these people... Who promised to go with their congressional district, you know, if they keep their word, and they don't have to, but assuming they keep their word, there are a bunch of Trump delegates now.
And the amazing thing is that the polls, like about a month ago, showed that race really tight. Okay? And, I mean, Trump went and surged to basically annihilate everybody in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, I didn't even remember the polls there because, you know, I'd honestly given up looking at polls because there were so few polls these days.
No, I know, but I understand that, but you know, so, the last polls say so when we left the big races that we had.
I'm looking at Real Clear Politics, before you go on, I'm looking at Real Clear Politics graph of Pennsylvania Republicans.
Yeah.
Trump has been clearly ahead as far back as they go. And the margin, the lowest the margin ever was a few weeks ago, when it was Trump 41, Cruz 29. And that's the narrowest margin it was.
But my point is that and that was after, you know, a lot of, you know, negative stuff that happened to him, blah blah blah, and so actually I'm looking back. If I go to April after the March where Trump didn't do as well, and these are the polls I'm remembering. There were some points that had Trump in Pennsylvania in March down to I see one over here that I'm only to a 3-point margin. Okay.
Well, that
in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, that,
and it was
that,
in the middle of March. So, well, I'm talking about a month ago.
I'm looking at that, and that's clearly an outlier. Looking at what's around.
Well, no, there was, because then afterwards there was a plus 18, but it was like still there was one that's plus 18, but there was multiple polls that came out very close to each other that had them in a margin less than 10 points in late March. But let me finish. Then April came around, and I hadn't looked at the polls just like you did. And his margin definitely widened substantially during April. But you take the results anyway, and the results were even still a lot.
The final Real Clear Politics average was a 22% Trump lead, and he ended up winning by 36%.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. I mean, that even and like what, at the
what you
end,
fi- what you find was, here in every actually, I'll back off that. Some of the states were smack on in terms of the end, but Trump exceeded polls in a couple of these states last night.
Yeah.
So, the bottom line, though, is he was essentially always expected to win Pennsylvania.
Right.
But his margins,
the margin was just far bigger.
And I think the main thing, like I said, because Pennsylvania's main, the only ones directly determined by the state results were 17 delegates that were winner take all for the state. The other 54 was this strange delegate stuff, and pretty much most of the people looking at this were looking and saying, they're 54 strange uncommitted delegates. We don't know what the hell they'll do, and they'll probably won't like Trump, because uncommitted delegates usually don't like Trump.
Because that's been right. That's because been the rule.
That's been the kind of pattern. But Trump completely turned that on its head. And like I said, he crushed in the uncommitted delegates, and that's really the part that people didn't expect. People expected Trump to win Pennsylvania and those 17 delegates, but they expected the 54 delegates to be a lot more even, not necessarily because Trump wouldn't win the state, but because the process was all about electing these individuals and all this stuff, and that Trump would basically fail at that. He didn't fail at that. He did very well at that. And so, in any case, with those two things alone, and I'll point everybody on my site and on electiongraphs.com, there's a link to Republicans, Everything Falls Into Place for Trump, which I posted on April 27th. It has all the relevant graphs and stuff here. Here's some bottom line stats of where we are before we talk about the next couple states or the next couple important states. First of all, he only needs 233 more delegates to win this thing outright. We're getting close there. Second, for the first time since March 1st or 2nd, right around Super Tuesday, Trump actually has a majority of all the delegates that have been allocated so far. He's got a little bit over 52%.
He's got over 50.
On the number I keep harping on, which is the percent of the remaining he needs to win.
Right.
Before these set of states, he needed 53.5% or so percent of the remaining delegates. What he actually got, if you look at these five states plus a couple other minor changes that happened in the last week.
90 what percent?
90.6%.
Jesus. Wow.
90.64% of the delegates since New York.
Yeah.
So obviously that's way more than the 53.5% he needed.
I would say.
And that brought down his number of what he needs of the rest to 42%.
Wow. That's a huge swing.
He only needs 42% of the remaining delegates to win.
So, I mean, this thing seems to be over.
I know we've said it
to be over before.
I've never said it's been over.
I have said it to be before to be over, but
I've been the one that's been cautioning all the reasons why it's not over yet, and why we couldn't say one way or another whether this was going to be contested convention or outright Trump. I think that's changed now, but again, it's not because of his pledged delegate win this week. Reason number one is the uncommitted delegates that we were just talking about. The other two things that have happened in the last week. One, when we talked about this 1 week ago, we mentioned there had not been any polls in Indiana. And pretty much every scenario that gets you to a brokered convention requires Trump to lose Indiana.
Right. And how far ahead is in?
There have been three new polls in Indiana in the last week. The average is Trump up by 6.3%.
I thought it'd be more.
Okay. It's only 6.3%, but here's the thing. It's another one of these states that is winner-take-all by congressional district.
Okay.
Which means, one of the patterns we've seen over and over with Trump is that his support isn't concentrated in some regions. It's fairly uniformly spread geographically. If that pattern continues, that may mean that he may win by 6% and get all the damn delegates from Indiana.
Aha.
And that's 57 delegates, which at this point in the process is huge. And now, he might not get all of them, but if he holds his 6% lead, then he would get probably most of them, even if he doesn't get all 57. And now 6% is narrow enough that, okay, maybe it can still flip. Obviously, Cruz is putting a lot of effort into Indiana. And we'll be talking about how things are changing again if Cruz ends up winning Indiana. That's pretty much the last hope of the anti-Trump folks right now, is to, you know, defeat. And even if they win in Indiana, Trump's still the favorite. You know, but at least it gives them a little bit longer to go forward. But right now, here's the thing. You know, when people talk about momentum, it's bullshit for the most part. However, Cruz hasn't been like hitting on all cylinders. And no. I'm not just talking about the voting. I'm talking about I don't know. It's like, he knew he was going to lose in the Northeast, so he didn't even bother. So he's kind of been absent from the conversation for a week or two, you know? And I know he's been concentrating in some of these future states, and he's been spending a lot of time in Indiana, so I don't know. But right now, looks like Trump's ahead in Indiana. If Cruz pulls off a win in Indiana, maybe we can continue talking about this for a little while longer, but it doesn't look like that's happening right now. But of course, a week from now we'll know.
But wait.
Yes.
But Cruz pulled out the secret weapon.
Oh wait. We'll talk about the secret weapon in just a minute. I want to finish this off. The third thing that sort of changes things is the other bit that all of the contested convention scenarios required is to keep down Trump's delegate margin in California. And California is another state where everybody sort of expects Trump to win California. But the question is, by how much? And California has the biggest number of remaining delegates. It's comparatively huge compared to everything else. Let me just check. California has 172 delegates. And it's also got, you know, bi-congressional district stuff going on. And so, but Trump's lead has been growing in California. Cruz has been falling. Trump has been rising. The Real Clear Politics now has Trump ahead by 17%. And, you know, and over the last week, that has been growing and growing quickly. Now, that doesn't mean it's going to continue to grow quickly, but it might. And it's large enough now that, you know, look, the anti-Trump scenario relies on Trump losing Indiana and him not winning by all that much in California. The polls in Indiana are showing him ahead, and the polls in California are showing him growing his lead to a fairly extensive lead. And so if you put all of these things together, and I talked about this in my blog post, but it's looking very much like a win. And I gave some examples. If you go to the Upshot and look at their delegate simulator and just look at the default assumptions from here on out, they do like a Monte Carlo simulation where they play out using some dice and some stuff, a whole bunch of different possible scenarios, and then draw them on a little chart. Almost every single scenario now has Trump winning, and by winning, I mean getting to 1237 before the convention. If you look at 538 and do their follow, you know, they also have a calculator and you can turn around sliders and do your own estimates. But if you do their follow the experts, which has sort of the expert consensus on each of the upcoming states, they end up with Trump 27 votes short of the magic number, but they don't include any of those uncommitted delegates. And if Trump did indeed win 40 plus uncommitted delegates in Pennsylvania, let alone the handful he's gotten elsewhere, guess what? You're already over the magic number. And finally, the last one of these that I want to point out is Sam Wang at Princeton Election Consortium has been, for the last few weeks, doing numerical simulations of the rest of the race, sort of like what the Upshot was doing, but I think his are a bit more sophisticated and a variety of things. A little bit more than a week ago, they were giving Trump a 64% chance of an outright win. And that's where we were talking, it's 60-40, it still could go either way, you know, it's right on the edge. His probabilities are up to 94% now. This is Sam from the future. On April 28th, Sam Wang, who I was just talking about, updated his forecasts and now is at a 98% chance of Trump getting to 1237. And if you assume he loses Indiana, that only drops to 97%. Now, you know, there's still ways that something else can happen, but it really is looking like Trump's just going to get this. With all of the additional polling information, the actual results out of the states from this week, 94% seems about right to me. There are still scenarios where Trump could lose this thing, and we could get a contested convention, but it's looking overwhelmingly like, unless something crazy happens, Trump's going to pull this thing out. And it makes me sad because I wanted a damn contested convention.
We've been like begging for one since forever, for God's sakes. At the moment that we thought we were close, and then Teddy just blew up.
I mean, the contested convention is the dream of political parties. Forget it. It doesn't matter who the candidates are. Doesn't matter what the politics are.
No, who cares? Whichever party, who cares?
That would be so much fun.
God.
Now, I will point out, there are still possibilities for shenanigans, even if Trump gets over 1237. If a significant number of those delegates don't actually like Trump, which we know is the case, then if there was the political will to do it, you could imagine scenarios where they would vote to change the rules to unbind themselves and then vote for somebody else. But if that happened, can you imagine the explosion you would have, like, you know, of how the Trump people would feel about that?
I would say they'd probably feel
upset. And honestly, I don't know that the rest of the Republicans in the race and the Republican establishment that runs the RNC would have sort of the political guts to pull something like that. If Trump actually comes in with more than the number of delegates that they've been saying all along is, you know, you get 1237, you win, and they pull some sort of shenanigans and change the rules at the convention and say, never mind. That's just, you know, the Republican Party explodes. I mean, it may anyway, but that scenario certainly would do it. But I don't think they're going to have the guts to do that. So I think where we're going to end up is Trump gets to his magic number and we have sort of almost an old fashioned traditional convention with Trump running it and Trump as the nominee. We'll see. So yes, contested convention, the dream is over. I'm so sad.
I know.
So next up, before you get to your favorite person, one other thing to mention, there was a very short-lived deal between Cruz and Kasich. where Cruz...
How long did that deal last for anyway?
Well, so what happened is Kasich announced that he wouldn't campaign in Indiana.
Right.
And Cruz announced he wouldn't campaign in, I forget, New Mexico and some right. other state, and would leave that to Kasich. And basically the idea being that it looked like they were going to split up the states, and each one was going to leave... It was going to compete in the states they were strongest in and leave alone the states where the other one was stronger to get the most possible non-Trump delegates. And then after, and they sent out simultaneous press releases to this effect. And then I think it was just a few hours later, somebody asked Kasich, well, so what should your supporters in Indiana do? Are you saying they should vote for Cruz? And he's like, well, if they support me, of course they should vote for me.
Oh, boy. Well,
that sort of undid the whole damn thing. I mean, I guess they were still agreeing not to compete actively in those states. But the way but to actually do this.
Vote for the other guy, which.
Okay. Yeah, the way to actually do this is actually tell your supporters, hey, we're going to try to stop Trump. Your best bet of doing it. I know you like me, but you got to vote for Cruz because that's what's going to get us to the convention. And nope, that didn't happen. Lasted a few hours. That was done.
That was it.
Okay, now you can do the one you've been itching to talk about for like the last 10 minutes. Go ahead.
Okay, I'm trying to search my memory banks.
Yes.
And do not ever recall a candidate that was not a front runner.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Announcing a Veep candidate, a Veep, you know, a Veep selection at this stage.
So this is the earliest it's happened, and the furthest behind someone has been when it's happened. The last time anything similar has happened was apparently the 1976 Republican race, when they got to the convention, and neither Gerald Ford or Ronald Reagan had enough delegates to win. So this is sometimes called the last contested convention. And only there was only a single ballot. But when you got to the convention, nobody had that majority. Uh-huh. And Ronald Reagan appointed Governor Schweitzer or something, some governor.
But they were at the convention.
They were at the convention. But the point is, Ronald Reagan had not wrapped up the nomination. He did not have the nomination, and he announced who his vice president was.
And I guess it was contested, so they were going to wanted to vote. So I guess he wanted to put somebody forth in order for them to get the ticket.
Well, he was trying to pick a vice president that he thought would gain him enough additional delegates so that he could beat Ford. Right. Obviously, that didn't happen.
Right. So. Okay, so this... I mean,
because Ronald Reagan was not the nominee in 76, Ford was, right. Ford lost to Carter, and Ronald Reagan, of course, was the nominee 4 years later.
Okay, so we have this event today where a guy who just got absolutely crushed...
And I forget if I didn't mention this before, but Cruz was actually mathematically eliminated from being able to win on the first ballot this week.
Right.
Based on the Tuesday results.
So a guy who just got mathematically eliminated, yeah. Okay, announce a vice presidential candidate. And then the VP candidate comes out, he's given a speech, and decides...
Wait. Who is this candidate?
Fucking Carly Fiorina.
Your favorite person in the world.
Yep. And she decides to sing.
Yes, she does.
During the event, which
she sings a little song to Cruz's daughters.
Yes, which had to be one of the weirdest fucking things I was
in the car when this happened, and I was listening to Fiorina start to talk, and then all of a sudden she starts to sing, and I'm like, what the fuck is this? Is she really doing this? What the hell is she doing?
Yep.
I know. I mean, okay, she's trying to do some cute thing with the kids or whatever, but I don't know. This seems a little weird.
My God. Yeah.
And it went on a while. It was like 30 seconds. I mean, it wasn't like minutes,
but it wasn't like a 2 second little note either.
So anyway, Cruz has announced that he intends for Fiorina to be his vice president if he were to win.
What the, dying. I mean, today I thought he said he was going to make a major announcement. I thought, oh my God, he's going to quit the race.
No, that's no, they'd been talking about the fact he was probably going to do this for several days now, and that it was probably going to be Fiorina.
Why? It's not like he names somebody that's popular. Okay.
Basically, look, it's about getting the media attention for this cycle between now and Indiana.
Well, because I guess he did. I'll give him credit for that.
He knows that his hopes of a contested convention almost certainly require him to win Indiana.
Uh-huh.
And so he's doing everything he can to pull the attention away from the fact that, you know, Trump just... You know, in the last week, got 155 delegates, and he got 8.
Yep.
That's including both the uncommitted and pledged delegates. Blah blah blah. I added it up. Anyway, he's trying to get that attention. He's trying to change the narrative. He's trying to do this, and it goes along with the fact that he's spending all this time in Indiana, that's why. Oh, Alex is here. They just got home. That's why he did it. And as to whether or not she will help in any way, I don't think so.
I don't think this helps. I think it may have helped if it was somebody else, but not her.
Well, the thing is, I mean, she already, you know, she was a candidate here. There's a reason she's not in the race.
Right.
You know, she was not super popular amongst the Republicans who were voting, at least in the two early states that she was actually in. She got one delegate.
That's just fucking awesome. I got to admit, she got one delegate.
She tied with Mike Huckabee and Rand Paul.
That sounds great. You know, maybe, you know, she could go and like date her only delegate or something. I don't know. You know, maybe take him out to dinner or something. They can enjoy something, I guess. So, okay. So Carly, you know, we don't think this move is going to do anything, right? There's going to be no material change, right?
I don't think this is going to substantially change anything. No, I mean, the fact that he's spending all his time in Indiana and all his effort in Indiana, maybe just like the sheer force of campaigning, will turn around that 6-point, problem. But his 6-point deficit. But you know, I don't think. Fiorina is going to make that much of a difference either way. I mean, she's been campaigning with him anyway for the last month and a half, apparently. And so it's not like there's going to be a presence that wasn't there before. You know, she was always there, and I don't know.
I don't know.
Okay. Aha. So, all right. So we got, all right. I know you had a list of other things that have been happening with the Republicans that you said you had on your list. So, what else did you see?
Let me pause for just a second. Snip, snip. Sorry, I'm back. I couldn't quite think with a 6-year-old climbing all over me.
Really?
It's a little tough sometimes.
You're getting slow on me.
Anyway, no, the other things that I thought would be worth mentioning...
Yes.
You
had a lengthy list.
Well, we're through most of it, actually.
Oh, okay.
The other thing was this, over the last couple weeks, there was, you know, this stuff about a shakeup in the Trump campaign with them.
Oh.
Demoting.
Whatchamacallit? Turning more presidential.
Well, yes. And specifically, his old campaign manager was demoted, and they brought in this Paul Manafort guy who was supposed to deal with the delegate wrangling. And I don't know how much of Pennsylvania was up to him and how much was already baked. But in any case, delegate wrangling seems to be going OK. But he also was on a whole bunch of interviews saying how, you know, Trump was going to be start getting more mainstream and not be quite as radical and would be more presidential, as you said. And they'd be doing a more traditional campaign. And he went on and did a whole bunch of interviews about this. And then the way it seems is Trump was basically like, yeah, fuck that.
Right.
You know, this is what got me here. I'm going to continue this. And there was like one or two speeches he did that were sort of a little bit toned down. And apparently, you know, Trump's reaction to that was, you know, I don't know, it's not working for me, whatever. And so he immediately went right back out there and was like, yeah, no, that's not me. And he started insulting people again, and he started going over the top on various things. And so that whole, like, Trump being more reasonable and moderate and not yelling at everybody all the time lasted like 2 days. And so the question,
I know he actually did start like doing that a little bit, then just kind of you know, went back off the rails.
Well, and apparently, like, there's some speculation that part of it is was specifically like this, the Manafort guy sort of got a little ahead of himself talking about this in public. Like, it's one thing to like change the strategy. It's another thing to go on TV and tell everybody that, you know, like,
oh yeah, we're doing this. Yeah. I get what you're saying.
It's, yeah. We're you know, doing this. We're going to moderate, and we're going to shake.
I mean, the kinda like he, says, like,
he came example, out, like, he came out and said stuff like, you know, look, there's the a lot of what you're seeing from Trump. He's playing a role. And when the role needs to change, it'll change. And Trump himself has said things like that. But this guy went out and said it on TV. And so a lot of people were like, see, we told you. And Trump's like, what the hell are you doing, guy? And so, like, some of this, you know, is just may, in fact, just be Trump reacting to the guy saying that this is what we're going to do. And he's like, no, you don't. I'm the one in charge here. You know, And so there's a question of, because Trump keeps saying, you know, when we get into real general election mode, that, you know, he will change a bit and he'll, and you know, he'll be the as presidential as you need him to be or whatever. And but the I don't know, is he actually capable of it?
No. I don't believe so. No. This has been the guy's MO his entire life.
Right.
I mean, what the hell is he going to go and, like, change now? I mean, we get all this advice a lot of times about how to behave and how to do certain things. And look, we can tone down certain things. We can change a couple of things. And I think people, especially when they are not successful, when they are not, you know, as say... And I will say, you know, Trump is successful to a degree, obviously. You know, he's very rich and whatnot or whatever. And I think that, you know, when you are that rich, okay, I think you believe all your own bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a lot more difficult for you to believe anybody else because you say, well, I'm the fucking guy that's got all this money. Who are you to fucking tell me this?
Well,
you get a lot of that.
Well, and also there's this whole, like, you know, when people are consulting with you about the right way to express yourself and the right way to say things, I mean, look, there's a, you know, Trump's what, almost 70?
Yep.
You know, look, I'm in my mid 40s and I get advice every once in a while about, like, you know, here's the one I get all the time. You know, I need to be more concise in my writing and speech. Okay. Now
you're like, fuck this shit.
You know, cause
it was done. Wine,
yeah, uh-huh. Now, I have heard that exact same statement since sixth grade. Like, or maybe ninth at the latest. Like, those statements have been, like, the comments when I've turned in papers, you know, since then, you know, and look, to some degree, I recognize, I'm like, yeah, okay, that would be nice. That would be good. I know that that is good advice. And if I could pay somebody to be my editor, I'm sure we could get some good results on some of that. However, it's how I've communicated for decades. It's the way that I do things. And it's not something that is likely to change And, you know, now if I made a concerted effort and really made it a priority, maybe I could, but I wouldn't be happy about it, you know, and I'd be sort of like, I don't know. It seems like if you're telling somebody, it's like giving somebody the advice that says, you know, you should walk slower.
Yeah.
You know,
I know. Or to me, the opposite, which is walk faster.
Right.
Because I'm like, can you freaking break? This is how I walk.
Yeah. It's like how you walk or telling you, you know, don't curse as much.
I try that.
I know. It's like that's my point. We can know that it's good advice, but there's certain things that are so baked into your personality that they're incredibly difficult to change.
I will say that, look, if I'm in a formal work environment and I'm in meetings, I don't curse as much.
No, look, I'm not intending to make this about you or me.
No, but listen, I consciously have made that happen. Okay. All right.
My point is, it's difficult. It's not that it's impossible.
No, it takes an effort. Okay.
It takes an effort, and you really have to want to, and you have to recognize the value in it.
Trump doesn't want to.
And Trump doesn't want to, and he doesn't recognize the value of it. And he said outright in quotes in the last couple of days, like, "What you see is what got me here. If I was acting all presidential, I would not be here today."
Correct.
And he's absolutely right.
Yep.
You know, so I don't think he's going to be toning this stuff down. And, you know, he will probably shift direction in some ways when he's aiming at Hillary Clinton instead of Ted Cruz. But that change in direction is not that he's suddenly going to be all polite and professional. That's not him.
Nope. That is definitely not him.
It is not. Yes. And while there are certainly, like, you know, you can say, you know, hey, it would be nice if you acted more professional. And you know, in a theoretical way, it's there's also the fact of, if you change the things that got you to where you are, if you change the core elements that make up your personality, then especially in something like politics, guess what? You're changing the things that made people like you in the first place. And so I think Trump's actually absolutely right here to reject this advice, you know? And,
look, I think that if he's going to make changes, obviously I think that part of the problem is what do I say? You can't have, like, this guy did that went and pre-announced it like that, and then
sort of do it organically.
Exactly.
Like, you can work on it internally, but if you announce. It's like if you remember quite a few months back, we made fun of Hillary Clinton because her staff made a similar sort of pre-announcement.
Oh, yeah, that, yeah, right.
They announced that she was going to work on being more authentic.
Right.
It's like, what? What? You're so
I know. That one was hilarious. And we're like, really? I mean, why the fuck would you? You know, that's the kind of shit. Like we said, you can't announce that shit.
Yeah.
Now, look. The reality is that.
The one thing I was going to say there, real quick, was the argument about you don't change this because it's what got you to where you are. Is that what got you to where you are isn't necessarily the same skill set you need in order to go where you want to be.
I agree with that.
So, for instance, in this particular case, he's gotten 40% of the Republican Party really excited about him. But to win a general election, you need to get an entirely different kind of people excited about you.
Yes.
And they're going to look for different things. And in fact, what we've seen so far is while his approach is really, really appealing to those folks that are voting for him today, it's simultaneously turning everybody else off. And so that's where you get to, well, maybe a change as he's going into the general election is necessary. But again, you get the sort of authenticity thing. If it's too forced, nobody believes it.
Yep.
And if it's too forced, he can't maintain it. And again, if he doesn't really believe it, just like, you know, I don't really believe, like, I want to write, be less verbose, even though I intellectually know it would be good, but I don't really internally believe it. And just like that, he's not going to really internally believe that all of a sudden he has to be acting all like all proper in some way and respect Hillary Clinton and only talk about issues or whatever. And it just wouldn't work.
Now, the good news is I nominated Sam to be my running mate. That is the upside of this entire situation, is that, you know, after consulting with people, and I'm going to hire, I guess, since Trump's being more presidential staffed, has nothing better to do right now, I think I'm going to go hire them.
Oh, there you go. And I will mention that along his, like, presidential thing, there was, like, a remnant of it that still happened today. He apparently gave a foreign policy speech that he actually read off a teleprompter instead of talking off.
Oh, really?
The top of his head, like, he
just
does.
Talk about bombing, you know, people like the bejeezers and.
Well, I mean, you know, his main thing is actually more isolationist. He wants to get out of everything. And, you know.
Well, we're not going to have any more free trade, and we're not going to have, you know, we're going to make everything in the U.S. And, you know, right. I mean, we're just not going to, you know, we're withdrawing from the world. My understanding, based on his, you know,
new plan. Not necessarily withdrawing completely, but withdrawing a certain type of activities. But yeah,
a number of activities.
Anyway, I was busy with other things. I haven't read what he said in his thing. I haven't watched his foreign policy speech. But for the most part, I'm not really too interested because I don't really like fully. I don't know. He may be saying. I don't know. It's like, I may agree with him on like some of what he says on the foreign policy side. You and I have on some of the debates when he was talking about Syria, we're like, Trump's actually right, you know, on some of the stuff he said.
But at the same time,
it's part of the larger picture of Trump. And even if he said a lot of things that about foreign policy that I was like, yeah, which I doubt I'd be completely like that. There'd probably be a handful of things I agreed with and a bunch of other things I was like, what the hell is he saying? But even if I agreed with all of it, there's so much else of the Trump picture that it doesn't matter. I still know he's sort of, as far as I'm concerned, disqualified.
I would say that's the right term.
So anyway, the one other thing I had on my agenda, which I think we can skip, was I was going to talk. There's been some debate, like with a bunch of people I've seen on Facebook and elsewhere, talking about if it's really Cruz versus Trump. Is Trump really the worst of the two, or would Cruz actually be worst if you actually look at their views and things like that?
I will say that you may be right that Cruz is worse.
I've taken the position that Trump is worse, even though, like, if you actually look at their positions on paper, I think I would agree with Trump more often than I agree with Cruz.
Right. What we know is that Trump's position on paper are bullshit for the most part. When he talks, he completely, like, I mean, every time you look at a position on paper you were just talking about, I mean, there's a big chance that he didn't even read any of the fucking positions he has on paper. So it seems.
And I think I don't like the unpredictability. Like Cruz, I disagree with on almost everything, but I feel like I know what's going on with that.
Yeah,
I don't
know what the fuck you're getting into. Fucked that you know how.
Whereas I don't feel like that with Trump. Like, I don't know, like, any particular thing he says, he could change his mind 180 degrees tomorrow. And I have no idea. And so I don't know. Like, you know, maybe he is secretly a super liberal, you know? He's certainly not a super conservative. He's got this weird mix of stuff, but, like, I don't know that it's going to stay in any way. Now, part of his appeal, I mean, part of what he said is, of course, he's a deal maker. So that automatically means that these things aren't fixed stakes in the ground. He's going to make deals. And honestly, maybe that's, from a policy point of view, maybe that's good if he actually could make all kinds of deals and break the gridlock or whatever. But at the same time, my other fundamental problem with Trump that makes me still say he's worse than Cruz, even though I might agree with him on more issues, is that I don't think he has any sort of fundamental level of respect for the existing institutions of government. And that if anything went like Cruz, I could see, like, if Supreme Court ruling went against him, I could see Cruz saying, I disagree with this. I think it's wrong, but it's the law of the land and I have to abide by this.
Okay.
Whereas I could see Trump going, oh, the Supreme Court says that.
Wait, he put the tanks on the Supreme Court and shoot at the Supreme
Court.
Well,
he wouldn't need to do that. He would just have to say, well, have him come over here and make me. You know, because the whole power of the courts is based on the fact that they're respected. If he just outright said, yeah, that's nice that they ruled that, I'm going to ignore it. You know, of course, he's unpopular enough, they could probably impeach him, but who knows who the hell he'll pick for VP. You know,
well, we can impeach him, too. But we
yeah, I know. Hope. I know. But anyway, also the final thing is Trump has shown absolutely no compulsion against the use of political violence. Like, this whole thing about, like, you know, beat up the protesters and all that kind of crap, that's just, it's a line that has not, I mean, there's a long history of political violence in the U.S. Let's not ignore that part of our history. But it's been verboten in public conversations amongst the people who are actually in power for many decades now. To actually say things like, you know, this guy disagrees with me, so go beat him up. But Trump seems like he's completely willing to go there. And that, to me, is incredibly scary.
Yeah, I know. It's the, one of the first things I keep saying about when people kind of like not take him seriously about the stuff that he does and says. I mean, his tactics are very, I mean, if you look at Nazi Germany and the rise of Hitler, they're very similar. Okay? The intimidation, the yelling.
Well, and the other thing is,
all this kind of stuff.
So before we get into all the Hitler comparisons, because maybe I can certainly see some of that. But the other thing I've heard people say is Trump wouldn't be an American Hitler. Trump would be an American Berlusconi.
Yes, that is correct. Yeah, what I'm saying is I wasn't comparing him to Hitler in terms of how he ran the country. I'm saying about the tactics about how Hitler ascended to power.
Right.
Okay. You know, scapegoating groups, inciting political violence, intimidation, these kinds of things. You know, because Berlusconi, as far as I remember, I mean, he just got voted in. He didn't use these tactics to get in. I mean, he was popular. Okay. But what happened is when he was elected, I mean, Berlusconi was, I mean, he was just very erratic like that. Okay. All over the fucking place. You know, so that was, that's, I guess the difference. So yeah, don't get my Nazi comparisons in terms of like, how he would be in terms, you know, I'm saying just the tactics in terms of the rise of power. Okay, which are tactics that are just scary,
right? I mean, and that's exactly it. Like, I don't know how far he would go with that, but the fact that he's willing to even tolerate it a tiny amount, and more than a tiny amount, honestly, the fact that he says things like, if they try to take away the nomination from me, they're going to be riots. That's just scary talk to me, and it's just like, no, we can't have somebody who talks like that, period.
Right.
You know, I don't care what their views are, and I don't care if I agree with their views. That is a place that we should not be going anywhere near in American politics, because we've managed, like I said, at least for the last few decades, back in the 60s, there were lynchings and all kinds of like violence and things like that, let alone if you go back further in time. But for the last few decades, at least, our politics has been remarkably free of that sort of physical intimidation, and we need to keep it that way.
Right.
Anyway, enough with the Republicans. We've been going forever. We're going to take a break.
Well, I could cover the Democrats real quick if we want to do that.
Well, let's take a break, and then we'll cover the Democrats real quick. Back after this.
Facebook, Facebook, Facebook! Hey, do you want to help support Curmudgeon's Corner? Well, right now, the best way is through Facebook. If you haven't already liked us on Facebook and you actually, well, like us, then go search for Curmudgeon's Corner on Facebook and like our page. It will help you see when we announce new episodes, and it'll help us reach more new people too. If you like a particular episode, like our episode announcement post too, or share it with your friends. All of this helps spread the word about our podcast to more people who might like it as well. And of course, we love having a conversation with all of you listeners, so please use Facebook to leave comments on the shows, give us suggestions, or anything else like that. It's always great to hear from you. So, if you want to help the show, use Facebook. Or forget all of that and just send us money.
Okay, we are back. So, Yvonne. Democrats.
What the fuck? It's the same shit I said 4 months ago.
Yeah, it's over. It's been over forever. What we finally have this time is it looks like Bernie's starting to admit it.
Right. Now finally Bernie's starting to admit it. Yes.
Yes. He's started talking about how
he's not going around and saying, we're gonna win Pennsylvania and we're gonna march through New York, and I'm like, really?
He would need 80 almost 81% of the remaining delegates in order to catch up and win. Clinton's almost there. But no, he's talking about we're going to go to the end so that we can influence the platform. He announced he's laying off hundreds of staffers and he's only going to concentrate on California, not all of the other states between now and then. So basically, Sanders is admitting it's over.
Yep.
At least in terms of winning, which it has been for a long, long time.
But he's
finally admitting it. So, which brings us to, we talked about Carly Fiorina on the Veep side. The speculation on vice president for Clinton is now heating up.
It's not going to be Biden, right?
That would be cool. But no, I don't think so.
That would be cool. Like, what the hell? I mean, I'm sure Biden would sign. I guess there's no term limit on VP, right?
No. No, you can be VP as much as you want.
Yeah. Well,
as much as the people will elect you to, I guess.
Right. That's what I'm saying. So, I mean, shit. I mean, I don't know. I would say that if, we could keep Biden for, as long as possible, I would be in for that.
So they apparently had some tensions during their time together in the Obama
administration. I realize that. I know.
But politics is all about getting over those things.
Exactly. And the other thing is that I know that there have been VPs which with candidates have had tensions with before. Wouldn't be the first time.
No, no.
I mean, about Reagan Bush, back in the 80s. I mean, there was certainly a lot of tension between those two.
Yeah. So now the one other name that, I mean, there are a number of names that are now being floated, and we're going to hear more and more about this. But the one that keeps coming up is actually Elizabeth Warren.
Elizabeth, as
a way to build a bridge to the Sanders people.
To the Sanders people?
Because Elizabeth Warren was a candidate who you would kind of expect would be sympathetic to Sanders, but she's very carefully not endorsed anybody in any part of this race. There are a number of reasons why this wouldn't happen as well, but it's one of the names that keeps coming up, is that Clinton could build a bridge to the Sanders people by picking somebody like Warren, and there are a couple other, people in that sort of
spot. I would like somebody not as far left as that.
Well, but that would be the whole point. Like, there's two basic approaches that she can take.
I just would not feel comfortable with Elizabeth Warren becoming president.
Hey, she could pick Sanders.
Oh, boy.
Now, look, there are two approaches here. One is to pick someone with very, undisputed progressive leftist credentials to make the Sanders people happy. And somebody like Warren would be that. And like I said, I'm blanking on the names, but there are several other senators and governors that could fill that kind of role. The other approach is to take someone that's as much like her as possible and sort of a more centrist Democrat. And of course, the any Republicans listening are like, Clinton, a centrist, she's a left-wing wacko. But
whatever. We're not going after those people.
But you got to look at it within the spectrum of the Democratic Party. And Clinton's as about as far right as you get within the Democratic Party.
Yeah.
Within today's Democratic Party.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there are a number of people have pointed out that, like, if this was still the 1950s, she'd probably be a Republican.
If this was the 80s, she may have been a fucking Republican.
And in the 80s, we know she was a Democrat, but...
No. What I'm saying is if this was the 80s, on the political spectrum.
But actually, you know, and if you go back, her first political activities were campaigning for Barry Goldwater.
Yeah, I know. I read about that.
Yeah. So she was at one point a Republican.
Hey, look, in the 80s, I thought for some period of time, I actually liked Ronald Reagan until I realized at some point that most of the stuff he's saying was bullshit. But, you know.
Well, we were young back then, too.
Yes. But like I said, I was young. I mean, Ronald Reagan talked about helping the economy and how he's cutting the deficit, blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, I went to a couple of classes, studied, and I realized, what the fuck, this asshole talks about cutting the deficit? He's created the biggest deficit in history. What is he talking about? He's talking out of his ass.
Well, that is one of the interesting trends over the last few decades, is the people who talked the most about the deficit actually increased it the most. But, I should say the people who talked the most about the importance of reducing it were the ones who actually increased it
the most. But, and that was one of those things that I'm like, but anyway, I realized, wait a minute, how the fuck can I support an asshole like this?
You're going on a tangent. My point was just Clinton basically has two choices here. Go for somebody that's like her on the right side of the Democratic Party, which is still left compared to Republicans, of course.
Right.
Or she goes to somebody significantly to the left of her to make the Sanders folks happy.
Ah,
and that's the choice she's going to have. And part of that is a basic, how do you think this election is going to go? Is it going to be mostly...
I think to go down the center.
Well, no, but there are two ways that elections usually end up going. One is you're fighting over that median voter in the center.
Yep.
And you have to do something, you know, the traditional, like, you go to the extremes to win the nomination, and then you move to the center in order to try to win the general election by getting those wishy-washy people in the middle who don't know if they're Democrats or Republicans and can go either way. But the counter argument recently, and going back, you know, a number of elections now, is that while, yes, that is one way to do it, the other thing is the Republicans and Democrats are getting more and more separated from each other, and there's fewer and fewer people in that middle category. Estimates have it at around 5% of people that could really go either way, 5 to 10% at the most. And so if that's true, then there's also the fact that in most American elections, you only get at most around half of the eligible voters showing up to vote in the first place. And so you can also win by, forget that median voter. We're a Democrat. We're going to be all about getting the Democrats out to actually vote. And of course, the flip side is true on the Republican side. You're going to get the Republicans out to vote. And it all be about motivating your base to get out and making sure your base is more motivated than the other guy's base, instead of trying to go after that median voter. And so that's a fundamental strategy choice that both campaigns are going to have to make over the next few months. Are they actually going after the middle, or are they going after the people on their side who don't otherwise vote, and getting them riled up and excited enough to go out and vote? And of course, there are ways you can try to combine those, but in many ways they're sort of, you can't really effectively do both. You got to sort of pick. Not yeah. completely. You can be creative, but anyway, we'll see how they both do that. And I think it'll be interesting to see for both Trump and Clinton, do they both dive towards the middle, or do they both double down on their bases? Or is there a combination where one of them goes to the middle and the other one doesn't? And I don't know, you know, all of the combinations could play out, but it'll be interesting to see how they pick.
No, I get it. Well,
okay.
Let me see what she picks.
Let me ask, are you still up for a lightning round? We've gone a long time, or should we punt that yet again?
No, let's go for it. We gotta get this out of, here. Come on, we'll do them fast. Come on.
Okay, we'll be back after this with a lightning round.
This is a break, oh yes, this is a break. This is a break, cause no one gave me any suggestions. I told you, I warned you, so this is a break. This is a wonderful break, a wonderful break. Yes, indeed, this is a break. This is a break in the middle of Curmudgeon's Corner. Yes, this is a break. Yes, this is a break, 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 break. Yes, this is a break. Yes, this is a break, 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 break. Yes, it is a break. And now the break is over.
Okay, so starting out, and let's try to actually keep these to a couple minutes. We'll probably fail, but bathroom.
Do you
laws.
Have the timer? No. Okay. Bathroom laws.
I could get my phone. I could get my phone. Get the timer out. Hold on.
Get the timer out. Timer.
Getting the timer. Da 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 da.
Do 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 beep. That's the beep.
Yes. Beep. Yes.
Beep. Beep.
Okay. So how long? What do you want for your target time? 3 minutes.
No.
Two.
No. 1:30. 90 seconds.
One, two,
Let's
or three.
Go.
I'm doing two. Here we go.
Two. All right.
First Fuck one, bathroom Sorry. Laws. All this talk about North Carolina and Mississippi.
I don't understand
and other
why this has become such a fucking big issue. I mean, I don't get it. I mean, it's not like,
it's a proxy for the general culture war stuff about, you know, are gays and trans people okay, or are they freaks of nature?
Okay, I gotta be honest. I would be perfectly fine with bathrooms not even being gender specific.
Yes.
I could give a flying fuck. Listen, I mean, there are stalls. You got the people in the stalls. Look, even if you're a urinal, just painting at the fucking wall. Who gives a fuck? I mean, this whole thing is ridiculous. For me, they should just buy. You know, I went to a restaurant where actually they had like you went into the bathroom area and you shared the area to wash your hands. And on the right side, there was a door to, you know, for the ladies to sit down. And on the left side, whatever.
Like that too.
What the fuck? Who cares?
Yes.
I mean, no, this whole thing with the bathrooms and all the people, whatever, is so fucking retarded. It's like, people need to get over it.
I tend to agree with you. And do you know how much extra money we spend by the fact that bathrooms have to be gender segregated in the first place?
How much fucking women have to wait sometimes while men's bathrooms are empty in certain places or whatever? Who gives a shit?
Yeah, so
just fuck
so anyway, you got 30 seconds left. Anything else to say?
No. Get rid of the gender-specific bathrooms. Fuck it.
Yeah, I think I agree with you, but again, what the issue is about for people is it's not really about the bathrooms. It's about the larger cultural war issues that people are really upset about.
They lost a war. Tell them to get the fuck over it.
Do you want to say something, Amy?
Yes. I'd like to add that there have been more reported sexual harassment cases committed by white Republican members of the Senate than there have transgender people. Because there have been zero cases of transgender sexual harassment in bathrooms, because literally all they want to do is pee.
Go to the bathroom.
There you go. Okay, next up. Germany prosecuting people who complain about the president of Turkey.
Well, as far as I understood, I didn't take it as prosecuting. I heard investigating.
Okay. It didn't actually move as far as a prosecution. But basically, Germany determined...
So basically, Erdogan asked Angela Merkel to look into these guys who supposedly drew a cartoon that Erdogan didn't like. And the people of Germany were... Basically, the reaction of Germany overall was like...
However, Merkel found out that there were laws on the book that basically required them to actually do this because Germany did have laws against insulting foreign leaders.
Really?
Yes. And that's why she had to go forward with that. And she, on the one hand, she said, okay, the law is there. We have to do this investigation. And on the other hand, let's start changing this law, please.
Right now. Immediately. Okay. Yeah. So, yeah. You know, we fucking Erdogan. It's ridiculous.
Well, and within Turkey, of course, this is an even bigger problem. He has been persecuting people and throwing them in jail and other things for what we would consider in this country fundamental exercise of free speech. There are a number of ridiculous cases, but one was somebody who created an internet meme basically saying that he looked like Gollum from The Lord of the Rings. And
it's retarded.
And because of this, and the guys, I forget exactly what happened to the guy, but something happened to the guy, and that shouldn't be the case at all.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Boom, boom, boom. There's the timer. Okay, next up, Matthew Keyes. And you said you had not heard of this guy when I brought him up a couple weeks ago. So Matthew Keyes, and I'm going to get some of the details wrong because I didn't bother to bring it up beforehand, and we've only got 2 minutes. But he worked at one of the major newspaper publishers, and apparently at some point he thought it would be funny to... expose the password.
I have to tell you.
Yeah. Yes.
Do you know where the gloves is at where we played with?
I do not know where the gloves we played
with. I think you're the one that put it down.
I don't know. I'm sorry. Okay. And there goes my time. Anyway, he was he thought it was funny to give the password to Anonymous. That would let them get into some of the newspaper stuff. And they ended up changing the headline on some articles. And it was just typical, juvenile stuff. They changed the headline to something stupid, right? But I forget which paper it was. I forget all the details. But in any case, they pressed charges against him under a law about... infiltrating computer networks or something like that. And basically they were threatening him with 20 plus years in jail for this.
Jesus Christ.
That the headlines on the site were wrong for, I think it was like 45 minutes or something before somebody fixed it.
Okay.
And it was just literally a newspaper story on a website with a changed headline. That was the extent of the damage here. But the publisher claimed that it cost them millions of dollars to investigate and figure out what was happening and their damages to their reputation, et cetera, et cetera. And he got convicted. Like I said, they were originally going after like a huge sentence, 20 some years. He was just recently... in the last couple weeks, actually got his real sentence of 2 years that he's appealing. This has become sort of a poster case of how the laws are misaligned, where what actually happened here was sort of the equivalent of petty vandalism, you know?
Right. Here's a problem.
Yes.
Okay, I understand that the net result was petty vandalism, but the reality is that the damage could have been far worse.
It could have been. But
this is the act of somebody opening, you know, giving somebody the combination to the safe of the bank. They didn't take the $1 million. They took $1,000, but that's what you did.
It's more like giving them I don't know. He didn't give them the master keys to the whole company. He gave them access to the content management system for the newspaper. You know, And yes, you could have done more significant damage. But the point is, though, like, he's potentially getting 2 years. You know, when Amy came in, he mentioned Republican senators and all this kind of stuff. There's the Dennis Hastert case, which wasn't on my list, but he's potentially getting sentenced right now. And it looks like he's getting 18 months for being a serial child molester over the course of
years. Remember, that's not what they're sending him for. They're sending him for the financials, because the statute of limitations ran out.
I know. Okay, bad example. There are many cases of much more serious effect of violent crime and other things that get sentences that are in the 2 year.
2 years is not that out of the norm of a sentence for that. And usually, by the way, a 2 year sentence, if it's federal.
Yeah,
I think usually he will serve less than a year.
He probably will. He'll
probably serve about 10 or 11 months.
The point of all of this is that there are mismatches in many places in our sentencing system. And this seems like one of those cases where the punishment is disproportionate. But, you know, like you said, you can make the argument that, oh, well, you know, maybe they did cause it. Maybe it was a lot more damage than it seems like. But there are all kinds of places where there's all kinds of weird mismatches, where crimes that you think would be relatively minor get big sentences, and crimes that you think would be major get small.
I agree. I will say this. I think the biggest thing here is, a lot of times for crimes that, you know, you get to intent. If his intent was only to cause vandalism and not to cause damage, then
in this particular case, his intent is unclear, because he didn't actually do the vandalism. He just gave the password to people who did.
I just think this is quite just cavalier and like not thinking about the consequences.
He was an idiot. There's no question whatsoever. He was an idiot. The question is it 2 years of jail worth of an idiot?
What is the right punishment? But like I said, 2 years of federal sentence usually translates into 10 months.
Okay. Next, the chalkening. Have you heard about the chalkening?
No.
This is a thing where apparently Donald Trump support. This started out in one university and has spread, because in one university, Donald Trump supporters apparently did a thing where they went out with chalk and put like Trump 2016 and a bunch of Trump slogans on the sidewalk or whatever. And apparently some of the students, and I'm going to mess up the details, so take this at a high level. Some of the students complained to the administration that they felt threatened and that this was harassment, and that they were basically said that, you know, they should stop the people from doing the chalk, and that they were upset and traumatized by the fact that they saw Trump's name on the sidewalk. And so as this, of course, blew up in this one university and was probably blown way out of proportion, Trump supporters all over the country decided that, hey, this will be fun. And so they've been writing Trump slogans on sidewalks all over universities all over the country.
Yay!
Because a lot of the fairly liberal populations of many of these universities get really upset by it.
That's
anyway,
nice.
I found it amusing. I mean, my position is like, I'm 100% free speech on this. I think that the people who get upset by seeing evidence that there are people with differing views of them need to get over themselves and realize that those views do exist and argue with them constructively instead of trying to suppress them. But, you know, not that, as we've talked about before, I am not a Trump fan. But I don't think the right answer is to tell the Trump people that they can't put up signs and things like that.
Agreed.
Okay. Harriet Tubman on the 20.
Well, look, I think it makes a hell of a lot more sense that they got rid of
Jackson.
You know, Jackson.
Instead of Hamilton.
You read all the stuff that Hamilton did, for God's sakes. I was like, why the fuck are you taking out freaking Hamilton? I mean, what are writers of the Constitution, founder of Federal Reserve Bank, all this shit, you know? Jackson, as far as I could tell, was for the most part a fucking asshole.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't like, you know, I kept thinking, every time I heard about getting rid of Hamilton, I'm like, why the fuck are we getting rid of Hamilton? You know, what the fuck did he do to deserve getting rid of the bill? So, yeah.
And by the way, they're also changing the 5 and the 10 as well in various other ways. And they're going to roll these out over the course of many years.
I think getting rid of Jackson is a good riddance.
But they're still not changing the 1. They've changed all the other bills. We still have the same $1 bill we had, like,
because nobody counterfeits a fucking dollar bill. It's too much work.
They should just make it match.
It's just too much work.
Of course, they keep trying to get rid of it and replacing it by coins, and that never works.
Right, no, but none of us like that. I mean, I gotta admit, all these countries that have dollar, you know, like the small denomination coins, they're so fucking annoying. I prefer the bills.
You know what I prefer? Nothing. Using plastic.
Yeah, or your phone.
Or my phone. Yeah,
like I love using now I'm using my Apple Pay on my phone.
I use my Apple Pay regularly, but only on a vending machine at work. I have yet to use it at an actual counter.
What the heck was the other place I used it that had the little machine at the use it at the gas station. I used it at a Jimmy John's to buy a sandwich. Stuff like that. Yeah, every time now I'm just looking for the little logo to make sure they accept the little thing, and boom, I'm trying to use it. It's cool.
Okay, next up, and I watched. It's kind of a movie, but not really. It was a DVD. It had been in my pile because I got it at some point. And so it was on my list, and it came up randomly, and so I watched it.
Yeah.
It was called The Gentle Leader Way from 2004.
What the fuck is that?
It was the instructional DVD that came with a nose collar for my dog.
I was going to say, it's for the dog, right?
So it was the little instructional DVD. By the way,
How long was the video?
It was probably an hour when you added up all the parts.
Jeez, a whole hour?
Something like that. So it had, like, here's how you fit it on your dog. Here's how you use it. If the dog doesn't like it, here's how you do this thing. Here's things to watch out for. Here's things to do. Here's some testimonials. And one thing that was annoying is there was no button to just have it play through the whole thing. You had to go through the menus.
No good.
So that was annoying. And keep in mind, this is an instructional video for a leash that we probably bought 10 years ago for a dog that is no longer with us. And I miss that dog. That was our dog Roscoe, who died last year. But, you know, here I am watching the instructional video for this thing. And of course I had been using it for years and never watched the video, but anyway.
Well, you caught up on that. There you go. That's at least he got that out of the way.
Yeah. Okay.
God sakes.
An insight into the mind of Sam.
Yes. This is, and you know what? This has been like this as I've met him.
It's okay.
Not changed. At least he's consistent.
There you go. Okay. Brexit.
It's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen?
Nah.
When's the actual vote? It's coming up.
It's June.
June? So a couple months. Yeah, I mean, this is another one where the polls are actually close right now, right?
I think they started, whatchamacallit, breaking towards no Brexit lately.
I remember looking at some charts, and it looked like it had gone back and forth, but it was relatively close, blah, 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 blah. Like you said, we've got some time, but one of the... And we went through this whole thing with the Scottish independence a while back, where, you know, it seems like in the end, when push comes to shove, if it's close, people break towards the status quo.
Yeah.
Now, that's obviously not always true.
23rd of June, 2016 is going to be the vote. Yeah, I remember it was June. Yeah.
Right. Anyway, but so you're convinced it's not going to happen?
Now, no way.
Okay. Next up, Prince died.
Yeah. We don't know why.
We don't know why. The speculation seems to be like an overdose of painkillers, though.
That was one. There was other people that were saying that he had been suffering from, apparently, some people said the flu.
And I know that we keep thinking that the flu doesn't kill people, but it does. Okay.
Yeah, but I also saw that, like, a number of people saying that, you know, like TMZ was reporting, who knows, but that right. The flu thing was basically a cover story, that he had an OD on something and was recovering from that.
That could be. That could be. But, you know.
But the bottom line is, we don't know until the results from the actual autopsy results came out, but they need the tox screen and all that kind of stuff, which takes a while.
They found no trauma. They found no nothing. I mean, they found him inside. I mean, it's just kind of weird where they found him, you know, based on what was going on.
The other thing is he had no will.
No?
A $300 million estate and no will.
Wow. Jesus, he was worth that much? Wow.
Yep.
Damn.
The courts have appointed an executor and all that kind of stuff, but he had no will, and had a number of family members, sisters, half-sisters, things like that. So it'll probably, you know.
Well, it's going to take a hell of a long time to sort out.
Yeah, it'll probably take a while to sort out, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, so, well. I mean, I liked his music. I liked his style. You know, I like them. It's sad. You know?
Okay.
So.
Next. Oh, you know, people get a will.
Yeah.
I finally did it like a couple years ago.
Yeah. I have to get a new one. The one I have is useless right now. I have to do another one.
By the way, I should probably tell you, you're my executor.
I am?
There you go. Okay, next.
Okay, well, it's good to know. Okay.
Yeah, there's not much there to worry about. Anyway.
All right. Okay. Well, it's good to know. I would have been a little bit more shocking if I found out the day you died. I'm like, jeez. Okay. All right.
There you go. Okay. Brazil.
Look, I mean, they vote. Okay. So the vote right now, just like in the U.S., was a vote to, to have the impeached trial in the Senate of the president. So they voted to impeach. It was a pretty big majority. Of course, you know, the thing is that the vice president is just as corrupt as the president anyway.
Although apparently corrupt in different ways.
They're corrupt in different ways.
And with still, a different political orientation, yes, and such.
Correct.
So yes. A lot of people are saying, like, the Glenn Greenwald had an article, which I did not read beyond the headline. But basically, his point was that the president has corrupt. His point was basically that the corruption issues were a pretext in order to eliminate her in order to change the political outcomes, because the vice president actually has worse corruption issues than she does, even assuming she has real corruption issues. It sounds like whoever's third in line has bad issues too.
Right. Correct.
So, it's like, so it sounds like they're getting rid of the president, but the vice president has worse issues, but they're going to keep him. But meanwhile, the vice president is basically much more right wing than the president is.
Well, my, do I have that right? It's also that they were, they were seeking also to the investigation, the guys who's been doing the entire, investigation into money laundering and all this shit. Look, they were looking to bring charges, I think, eventually at some point against the VP.
Right.
So, in the end, might wind up impeaching both.
And apparently, though, everybody said, the people in charge of this are not allowing the possibility of new elections or anything like that as part of this. Not at the moment. So.
Nope.
Okay. Two more things, and then we'll be done. Apple earnings. They lost
they
money.
Sucked.
No, they didn't lose money. They made.
No, they did down, lose money. But look, a big thing. Foreign. Listen, actually, all tech companies reported shitty earnings this quarter. Okay, Google, Microsoft. It's not a surprise that Apple also reported shitty earnings. Relatively speaking, obviously. The U.S. dollar getting strong.
Now, wait, just to be clear, because I was confused about this. Was it just that their earnings did not meet expectations? Did they actually lose money?
Oh, no, No. They made money, but the profits were down from last year, okay. About 20%. Okay.
Good.
Now, the reality is if you looked, China sales this quarter were down 26% year over year. Now, reasons for that, there's a couple of reasons. When the U.S. dollar shot through the roof, Apple was forced in many foreign markets to actually raise prices, okay? In an environment where your currency is already weakened, it wound up driving revenues down. I mean, you know, you've got economies that are slowing down, and the increase in price drove buying in foreign countries down. And so they really got caught in a situation where, and I had said this since last year, where the U.S. dollar going up has been having a significantly negative impact on foreign operations of major U.S. companies. I think that this is something that will stabilize over the next 12 to 24 months. If you look at the volumes, it's not like volumes were like that bad. The volumes of the phones were actually fine. I think that, even though they were down slightly year over year, but if you look at market-wise, I just think the overall market was slowed down. You had a big currency shift, and I think it just impacted earnings in a way that you just got a perfect storm of stuff going on right now. So, and there it impacted the tech company. So,
okay, last item. The Saudis have a plan to not need oil anymore.
I think it's ridiculous.
So the whole idea is they're trying to say, like, we recognize that at some point there'll be a post-oil economy, either because people shift away from it for renewable resources, or eventually we'll actually run out, or it'll become less economical.
They want to do it in 15 years.
Which is pretty quick.
I think that they're recognizing, by the aggressiveness of the plan, that, look, oil demand is going down. Okay? It just is. I mean, look, whether it's because of concerns with global warming, CO2, because energy alternatives, whatever the fuck, the reality is that gasoline demand is going down. It's the reason why oil prices have been going down. Their revenues are in the crapper. So either they diversify or they're going to die. It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
You know?
But you think their specific plan is bullshit?
Their plan, I think that there are certain elements of it that will work, but I just looked at it at the top, and I'm just like, it just seemed like a lot of wishful thinking for a lot of stuff. So to take a lot of money investment, it hinges on one part on the floating, a public floating of the Saudi oil company, okay, which they estimate will value it at $2 trillion. I don't know if that estimation is fair or not at this point, given how oil is doing. I would say that if they want to do it and they want to cash in on something, they better do it quick. Because, look, you're going on a plan where you're trying to fucking, like, wean your country away from oil, but then you're trying to sell the whole world. I'm like, hey, buy a piece of my old company. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Seems counter. So... So, yeah, they would need money for that and a lot of diversification. I mean, I don't know. It's just society over there doesn't change that quickly in order to do that. And they need a lot of changes that I think a lot of people are going to resist.
Okay. And with that, actually, one more thing that I just saw come across on Twitter while you were doing that last thing.
Which is?
And it's not right near you, but it's in your state. It's near Orlando.
Yeah.
A Florida driver, drunk driver, slammed into a medical helicopter that was responding to a previous accident.
Oh, come on.
I don't have any more details than that.
Oh, Jesus.
But yeah, so apparently there was an accident. It was severe enough that they had like a medical helicopter evacuating people from the accident, and then a drunk driver slams into the helicopter.
That's really helpful.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, there you go.
Don't drink and drive, folks.
Yeah.
Okay, that's it for our show.
Helicopters. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, like you know you're a little over the edge when your accident involves running into a helicopter.
Yeah, that could be. Yeah, I would say that that's the definition of that. Anyway.
That's a show. Thanks everybody for listening as usual. Tune in. Like us on Facebook.
It sounds good though.
Subscribe to our show.
Right.
Go to iTunes, leave positive reviews. I haven't checked if we've gotten any lately. Tell your friends about the show, comment on Facebook, reach us on Twitter. I'm at Abulsme, A-B-U-L-S-M-E, and Yvonne is at I-M-B-O-U. We love to hear from you guys. You know, all that lovely stuff. Next week, we'll know how Indiana went it only matters on the Republican side. We'll know how Indiana went, and undoubtedly there will be other news as well. So enjoy your weeks, everybody. Goodbye.
Bye.